the wrong channel. No, I think we are. Let me mute. Yeah, that is muted. All right, cool. I think we're good, man. I think we are good. So, yes, I'm trying it for the first time live podcast. I do the podcasts occasionally, but I figured this time I would go live. So today I've got someone that I met via one of my wife's friends, but it's an author, Carl Jennings. So, Carl, thanks for joining today.
Well, thank you for having me, John. It's nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too, man. It's been a long time, which we've kept up online, but I think the last time I actually heard your voice was like, my God, it's got to be half a decade or more.
6 years, probably.
So, yeah, That seems about right. I remember it was a nice little quaint Mexican restaurant, I do believe.
Yes, it was lovely. That taco salad was fantastic.
Yeah, man. That's still the best restaurant around, dude, for sure. Like, when I go places, when I go out of this area, I will go and still, man, nothing quite compares to Campestre's in Princeton.
Is that how you gauge areas is by the Mexican food?
A lot of times, yeah. I'm a big fan of Mexican food, man. It's probably one of my favorites. Between that and Italian food, it's hard for me really to pick between, but I'm such a sucker for like nachos, man. Nachos my big thing. I love nachos more than I love a lot of stuff, so and Mexican, it's nacho. Almost everything they have is nachos.
In some form or other.
Yeah, man, it's chips with it's really weird, but I do love nachos. So, and I love Italian food. So,
well, what is a taco if not a nacho folded into a U shape?
That's exactly what it is, man. and that's that's what I love about it, man. Anything that you get, because even if you look at it, burritos are just. They're not hard tortilla chips. They're soft tortilla chips, still with cheese and stuff like that on there. So, where are you at now, location wise?
Well, I'm still in Roanoke, Virginia.
In Roanoke?
Mm-hmm. The nice. Southwestern Virginia. It is basically a bowl. What I love about Roanoke is that you're about 20 minutes from everything. So you want to go 20 miles north. It'd be about 20 minutes. You want to go 5 miles down the street? Oh, it's probably going to be about 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Roanoke a couple times, which me and Tracy actually always talk about needing to get down there, man. And, like, we just need to do it, man. Come down, hang out. I'm trying to get this camera right. Come down, hang out, because her sister lives down there, and then we could meet up with you. And because we've talked about it a lot, man. You're one of our favorite people that we've ever met. Like, it's such a weird thing, but, like... We really, really enjoyed hanging out with you and stuff, so we'd like to get back down there. But yeah, man, let's just jump into it, man. Let's go. You write. You're an author, and like I publish blogs on the internet, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that, but you're a legit published author.
I am. I have a far-reaching scope of things. I've got about almost 24 published short stories under my belt from various magazines, anthologies from publishers. I guess you could say every 2 or 3 months, depending on when it's released, I do movie reviews for a magazine out of Belfast, Northern Ireland, called Phantasmagoria.
Whoa, holy crap.
And on occasion, I'll do book reviews for... writer's website, resource website called Horror Tree.
Okay. Now, how do you get like that gig? What'd you say, Belfast?
Yeah.
So like, how do you get that gig? Like, how did that come up?
That was a networking snag. I snapped it up to a networking opportunity. The editor-in-chief and I were on the same Facebook group for writers where people would post submission calls for story once. And he posted one for his little anthology he was doing. I think it was the second volume that he had. And I submitted a story to him, and he really liked the horror comedy that I did. So I did a couple more short stories for him, and then I just started doing movie reviews after we started talking for a bit.
Huh. That's very, very interesting. It's just so weird. I guess networking probably is a big portion of it. I know that because that I'm really big into film and making mm-hmm. film. And that's basically anybody you talk to who goes to film school, they'll say, I spent $100,000 and I didn't learn anything, but it was the chance. Basically, you're spending $100,000 to go to a school in hopes that one of the people that you meet make it, and then somebody can be a gateway in.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's the writing community is not huge, the back end production end of it. So I will know just about everybody. It's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I know probably just about everybody in the writing community. 7 degrees.
So
at least 7 degrees.
Yeah. So how long have you been writing? I know that's probably a dumb question, because I feel like most people who write have literally wrote. Like, I've been writing. I don't remember not writing in my life, but how long, or when did you maybe start taking it more serious and actually trying to complete works and stuff?
Well, unofficially, I used to take, when I was probably 3 or 4, I used to take Reader's Digest books and scribble sigils of some sort of occult significance, I'm sure, on the blank pages. But I actually started doing it seriously for profit and fun when... I'd probably say about 3-4 years ago now.
Okay. Gotcha. Is that when your first work was published?
Yes, it was published in November of 2018 number.
Gotcha.
I'd have to go back and double check that one. You'd think I'd remember that, but no, I forget what I write after it's published.
I know what you mean, dude. Some of the stuff that I've done, like, I remember the first time I ever did a casting call was for a horror movie we made, and mm-hmm. I don't remember. I think it was in February, but I can't remember the year, and I definitely can't remember the date. I specifically remember the details of it, but not the actual day. And then I remember some of the stuff that I worked on. I worked on a movie called Night of the Were-Rooster.
I like that title.
Yeah, dude. Actually won, it won best picture of Mad Monster Party 3 years ago, I think. Or maybe 4 years ago, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I specifically remember the experiences, but I can't remember the exact dates. But so I definitely know what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first story that you had published? What was the...
Okay. It was with an online magazine. I'm trying to remember the name. I probably should have brought this up in preparation, but...
I try to make this as... it sounds stupid, but I try to make this as least prepared as possible, just because I love... Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a more natural flow.
The magazine was called Theme of Absence, and it's a neat little thing where it's almost like a blog format where stories are posted by different authors, but it was my first paying gig, and the story was about a man who had sort of gone off the deep end when his family died, and he was a mortuary worker, so he had brought home a corpse as a friend and became a hoarder, and it was kind of darkly humorous, if you can laugh at something that's unfortunate but sort of weird.
No, absolutely.
You'd probably like it.
Yeah, no, that sounds like, which I know, I feel, but you'd sent me an email a while back with some of the stories in it, because I remember telling you that I was possibly wanting to do maybe a short film out of it.
Yeah.
And then kind of, like, I went through a weird phase where I just literally lost any kind of motivation to, you know, do whatever, but...
You were not alone on that one.
Yeah, so, but no, that's, do you have that story? Is that one that you sent to me?
I do believe.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna try to check that one out.
Since then, I've probably doubled the bibliography I sent you. So, There's more.
Nice, yeah. Now, so everything that you've published so far has been like short stories, right?
Yes.
Cool. Do you have any works for trying to do like any kind of novels or anything like that? Like full, I say feature length, but that's a film thing. But you know what I mean? Like a, not just like a snippet.
I can translate that. Yeah. I do have 2 full length novels written.
Oh, wow.
I just need to find a home for them.
Gotcha. Now, have you shopped them around at all? Have you sent them to anybody?
Oh yeah. What beginning writers will find is that you will get a lot of rejection for many times absolutely no reason. I did not write to the market at all. Right now,
I appreciate that. Honestly,
right now publishers are big on young adult romance and something that has a dragon in it, and
mm-hmm.
Young adult genres, and it neither of those are that at all. So it's going to take a lot more time.
No, I understand that. I appreciate that. I would much rather. I would much rather read something that someone wanted to do versus something that someone wrote without necessarily the heart in it that society says I should read, if that makes sense. And I kind of compare that to filmmaking. Like, I could watch... I'm trying to think. Okay, one of my favorite movies that's come out recently is by a group called Astron 6. It's called The Editor. And it's like a horror movie, and it's kind of a throwback to like Italian, like 70s Italian film, and it's done really, really awesome, but you can tell those guys wanted to make it. And I could watch that 10,000 times over before watching James Cameron's Avatar ever again.
I listen to a podcast network called Thundergrunt that. A lot of the people on there are those type of filmmakers, and I think you'd like a lot of their films on there. One of them was called Soda Milk, and they're usually all horror, but they did in conjunction with another indie filmmaker, they did a film, a fakeumentary, a mockumentary, I guess you could say, about a Christopher Walken rumor.
Whoa.
And if you like bad Christopher Walken impressions, then this is the thing for you. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I would definitely be down for that. Would be something I'd be interested to check out, man. Because I love I'll go to YouTube sometimes and just search, film or whatever, and then, or the short film. Usually I'll search short film because there's a ton of people that's just trying to get their content out, and I love supporting. As a matter of fact, this is gonna sound like the most stereotypical BS anybody's ever heard, but I legit mean this. One of my favorite filmmakers right now is a buddy of mine named Josh Kaiser. It sounds like I'm saying that because I'm friends with the guy, but this dude, and he has all of his stuff on YouTube. You can look it up. Joshua Kaiser is his name. K-E-I-S-E-R. I don't know how to spell his last name. There's a lot of different ways to spell Kaiser, but regardless, makes fantastic film, man. Like, just super arts, like stuff that I could never do, because when I write, it's dialogue. I'm dialogue heavy. All I write is dialogue. I write people speaking. That's what I do. And this guy, just the artistic vision this guy has with some of the stuff he makes and the camera shots, and it's so clean, and it's just, and it's amateur film. I mean, it's a dude from here, you know what I mean? But it's so good. And I would love to get into seeing more stuff like that, man, because I love, that's my passion, but it just seems like everybody's like, I need to write something that's on hot button topics now so I can get seen.
they want attention of at least middle grade studios, maybe get a contract with Blumhouse or something.
Yeah. Now, as far as like books and stuff, is there any specific, like, I'm actually reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy right now because it's one of my favorite books, which it's been probably over a decade since I've read it. But is there any is there like a dream publishing house that you would love to be published by?
Hmm. Probably not. What one of the big five, like Penguin and Harper, they're about exposure and the number of stores you can get it into, your book into. Gotcha. See, with publishing houses, I don't suppose I really have a dream publisher, because it's more about how wide of a readership I can get with this publishing house. Is it tiny, and is it regional, and is it something I'm going to have probably a 50-50 marketing on it, or is this something that I'm going to get an agent for and go globally?
Right.
Global trip, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense a lot. I think that one thing that I find interesting about books versus movies is, like, and I don't know, maybe this has changed, but I know, and I know people that have done the self-publishing thing, but it seems like self-publishing to an extent is almost a black eye on, from what I've seen. I don't know if it's still the same. I know that it used to be. People would kind of look down on it versus, like, in the film industry, if you make your own thing, that's considered like, man, you must really love what you're doing.
Now that there are a lot more self-published authors and they are churning out quality stuff, it's less so. You're always going to have that small hold-down cadre of people who like to gatekeep.
Gotcha.
But more or less, the argument of self-publishing versus traditional publishing anymore is about the amount of work you're going to do yourself versus the amount of work you can get a large team to help you with.
Got it. Okay.
You have a lot more resources with the traditional publishing house, but you also have less control over what you want to do.
Right. Yeah, that seems like it would suck. Have you ever, have any of the stories that you've submitted to, like, magazines or anything, have they kicked them back and said anything, or are they just like, cool, we'll publish it?
No. Luckily, I've been very fortunate with that, because most of the short stories I've had published have been with, actually all of them have been with smaller independent publishers, and they're usually run by authors, and they're really good about preserving what the author wanted in the work. I've had it translated to different languages, and I've had to have, you know, regional changes, like adding a whole bunch of superfluous U's when it goes to the UK for flavor and color and whatnot, because I guess you know, somebody has a real good distribution system on the letter U over there, and they're making tons of money.
Right.
But no, I've been fortunate with that. So I'm kind of dreading to see what mainstream publishing, if I reach that point, if mainstream publishing is going to be kinder or as close to as kind as it can be.
Right. Yeah, that's cool, man. It's cool that the independent places, and maybe that's why independent everything thrives, is because it's more so true to the actual form of what the work originally was.
Yeah.
Did they give you any kind of estimate numbers on, like, what the reach of that is? Like, how many issues or whatever that they sell?
I sometimes get a statement with that when I get royalties. For independent, I guess you could say it's pretty decent. Readership tends to be pretty good on the stuff I'm in. But sometimes you have these micro publishers that don't get to do a lot in advertising, and it's a lot of word of mouth, so it's less than that. But yeah. I'd say in with the people who really like to read, they're usually pretty good. The readership's usually pretty good.
Yeah. That's cool. I think that short stories are a good way to get stuff out there too, because, like if I were to see something and it was just a short, like, it's a lot easier for me to give something a try if it's, I don't know what the classifications for it are, but if I see, like, a 20-page thing, I'll bang that out, see what's going on, and it may make me want to read, you know, more of that author, which is, you know, same thing with film. You know, I'm way more inclined to watch I've never heard of this guy. It's a 10-minute film. I'll give that a shot. So I think that's pretty. What is the average length of like something?
There are rough estimates. There's a flash fiction, which is usually 500 words or less. There's a drabble, which is around 100 words. A short story, maybe up to 15,000 words, 10 to 15,000 words. And there's a vignette, which is around 15 to 25, maybe. And then there's a novella, which is around 25 to 50,000 words. And 50,000 and up, depending on genre, 50,000 and up is going to be about a novel length.
That's crazy, man. I can remember specifically in seventh grade, we had to do a thing every... I don't know why, either. This made no sense, but in my science class, we had to do a current events paper every month, and it had to be 100 words. 100 words. And I can remember struggling for that, man. So I could... I mean, I, you know, I guess things changed since I was in seventh grade, but that seems... Man, that's... That seems crazy. And there was also a thing, and I'm sure this doesn't count in writing, but I remember she would be like, you can't use A and the don't count as words.
Oh, that's cruel. No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she
sounds a bit sadistic.
Yeah, I never understood it, because it's a science class, right? Like, and it wasn't like, pick something science-related. It was like, just current events. You picked up the newspaper, and whatever you thought was interesting, then you write about. I never understood why or, you know, what, you know, if that made any kind of sense at all. Like, it was just like, hey, read this. All right, I guess. I'm in seventh grade. I don't know what politics is or, you know, or elections or any of that. So it's super, super weird. So you don't make a living as an author just yet, right?
Oh goodness, no!
But I'm assuming that's the ultimate dream.
That is the goal to feed myself on writing.
Would you rather be a starving artist and be able to make it, or do what you're doing now and just do it on the side?
If I could go from the one extreme to where I was destitute. To the other extreme of actually being quite well off on it, I would probably pick that. I tend to like to go for all or nothing.
Right.
I can definitely do it on the side, but that's not what I'm gunning for.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's kind of that break. Actually, I was listening to something earlier, and the guy was talking about his parents were always like, you need a backup plan. And he was like, I don't know, man, but if I have a backup plan, I'm not going to try as hard.
Yeah.
And that really hit me, because I was like, I've always had a backup plan for if I failed at being a filmmaker, but you know what? I'm not being a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is, I mean, you know, obviously a lot of that has to do with, like, luck and just getting your stuff in the right hands, the right person at the right time, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously, I can't quit my... That's a lot easier to say to a 17, 18-year-old fresh out of high school than it is a 31-year-old with a child and house payment and stuff like that. But I thought that was very, very interesting, though.
It's definitely a philosophy if you can get behind it, if you're actually able to get behind it.
Yeah. How often... Do you write every day? Do you spend every day writing?
Yes. I do something at least every day related to writing. If it's not researching or outlining, drafting, or reading for a review I need to do, it's going to be the writing itself.
Nice. Oh, well, that actually, I'm glad that you said that stuff. So what is your, let's start at the beginning. When you're, all right, I assume obviously everything starts with an idea. So you get an idea. When you get an idea and you think, I'm going to make this into a story, what is the first step that you go into there?
Okay, when I get an idea, it's usually a scenario. Like, this happens in this place at this time. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even just a concept, like purple monkey dishwasher. I don't know.
Right.
I'll have that. I'll think about that for a couple days or so. Then I've got a book that I write all my ideas down into. So I'll write it down. I'll write as much as I can. And if I get more than a page, or at least a page full out of it, like this is a basic composition of a book. If I get a page out of it, then I know it's something to look back on. So I sit, let it set for a week or so. And then I come back to the ideas book, and I reread that idea. And if I still think, hey, that sounds pretty good, I'll start to flesh it out. And I'll put characters to it. I'll think what I want to do with it. Do I want this to be science fiction or horror or science fiction comedy, horror comedy? Or do I just want to have a smattering of all different genres in it? And that's when the outlining starts. And then the outlining leads to a first draft, and then I edit that, write a second draft, edit that, write a third draft. And that tends to be about the lifespan of it.
Do you map out, like when you're doing the outlining, do you map out specifically this chapter is going to introduce this, and this will be the resolve to that chapter, and then chapter two will be, the, like, do you map out each individual chapter that way?
Mm-hmm. If it's not in chapters, it's in sections. I might split it up in chapters later, but I'll do sections where I can have a beginning, a middle, and end within a larger story that is a beginning, a middle, and an end. So yeah, I have a setup of four sort of chalkboard pieces on my wall, and that's what I'll usually draft those ideas on.
Gotcha. See, I feel like that's the department that I'm terrible in. I'm so bad at doing any kind of preparation. Actually, I have this chat pulled up on YouTube, and this is actually a good question. Do you have any, or any, is anything that you've wrote available on Amazon?
Oh yeah, you can just search Carl R. Jennings on Amazon. I'm in some of my favorites are the newest one I'm out in, and it's called Gruesome Grotesqueries Volume 4, I think it is, from Phantasmagoria. That one is a Douglas Adams-esque comedy sci-fi about bureaucracy and protest.
Nice.
But you can, yes, just search my name, Carl R. Jennings, and if it's not something that looks like it's from the early 20th century about shipping reports, then it's probably me.
Yes, I've got it pulled up here. So I've got Urban Temples of Cthulhu.
Oh yeah, I did a cult comedy for that one called Cosmic Cavity or In the Mouth of Madness, and it's about a dentist who has a cult leader who has a very difficult tooth to deal with.
Nice. Dude, this is cool too, so if anybody wants to read these, like, this is $2.99 on Kindle,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to check that out. And then I've got Year's Best Transhuman.
Yes, that one is a straight science fiction. There is not an ounce of levity in that. That's a pretty hard science fiction horror story about what rights do robotic people have, and it follows the murder / property damage, depending on how you look at it, of a robot prostitute.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's super, super cool. Because it's so easy to, like, to be able to just turn your work onto somebody here, check it out on Amazon, like, that way mm-hmm. you don't have to carry and stuff around. That's super cool. I actually, I had a buddy who he published a book called Valhalla Underground, and I can remember people wanted to read it, but no one wanted to pay him for it.
Oh, yeah, the age-old issue.
Yeah, and so he would carry around this book because he was wanting to sell it, and people would look at it and want to read it, but then they wouldn't want to buy it. And you know, it's, you have to find a fine line of, I want you to read it, but I also spent a lot of time and money on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. That book was super, super cool. So, but yeah, man, that's crazy. When I'm doing any kind of writing, I have an idea, and then I literally just start the scripting process, and it's the worst thing that you could probably ever imagine. I have no prep. Literally, the movies that I've ever wrote, any screenplay that I've ever wrote in full, has literally wrote itself. I don't prep. I may have an idea, and then I may get an idea for a scene, and then I'll literally write stuff specifically for that scene to happen. Like, it's, I just go with it, dude. I just let it go.
And that is a 100% legitimate way to do that. You don't have to plan. You can just start writing. You can get on your bike and ride. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you write.
Yep. And that's what I'll do. I'll do the like I said, when I write, I do dialogue. I'm dialogue specific. Like, I don't write a lot of stage directions, but also, I feel like for the type of movie that I write, it's not really necessary, because I don't want to say, some dude says this, and then stage direction picks up cup of coffee. Like, I would rather write all the dialogue, and then, you know what, dude? They're actors. That's literally their job. You fill out how that character acts, and you do it. Say the dialogue. You can make what the actor does in the scene, and that's the way that I've always done it, which is why I'll have a screenplay, and it's an 80-minute movie, but it'll be 160 pages, because it's just people talking. That's all it is.
And that's a completely legitimate way to make movies, too. I mean, I've read Save the Cat, and Sid Meier's book, and John Truby's book, Anatomy of Story, and they have all these little diagrams and exercises you can do to craft your movie, when in the end it's like you make something to put on film.
Yeah. And ultimately, the reason that it's because that's the way that I want to make movies. And ultimately, the reason I didn't go to film school is because, so I had applied to the University of Wisconsin because they have one of the best film programs in the nation. And I've submitted my application. It was, I think, a week past, like, when they got it. It was, like, a week past the deadline.
Ooh.
So that got kicked back. Then I almost went down to Full Sail University in Florida. And I pulled out of there because I really started, looked into the Art Institute in Charlotte, and I liked that. And that was going to cost, like, $100,000, which would have been really a stupid mistake. But ultimately, the reason I did not do any of that is because I was like, these people are going to teach me how to make movies the way that they think they should be made. Like, art school, and I'm sure it's the same thing to a degree in, like, critical or creative writing classes or anything like that. Like, they're teaching you how to write the way that they think it should be done, and I almost feel like that limits creativity.
Yeah,
to an extent.
It extends commercial viability, but it does limit creativity.
Yeah, man. Like, could you imagine? I mean, like, if Quentin Tarantino went and graduated from film school, like,
oh god,
I mean, like, because I don't even know if he. I was trying to think after I said that. No, I was like, didn't he go? I don't even think he went. I think he just started.
He didn't. He's quoted in saying, "My film school was a movie theater."
Yeah, because I knew he worked at. Yeah, he worked at, like, a video rental store.
Yeah, he watched movies, and that's what you need to do: watch movies.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about.
Read scripts.
And then, so I'll finish the first draft of everything, and that's when I go back, and then I will fine-tune it. So I'll read through, and I'll see where I can add, because honestly, even the dialogue the first time through, even though that's what my specialty is dialogue, I'll write it, and it'll be all right, and then that's when I'll go back in and fine-tune it and make the dialogue, like, good. Like, if I may have 2 pages of these 2 characters speaking, but I know there's a lot more that needs to be said, but just writing it, see, because I don't even jot notes down. If I'm writing it, that's the notes, that's my cliff notes, that's what, and I know that scene needs to be about that. So then I go through on my second attempt, or, you know, my second write, and that's when I'll expand it.
You know, that's a good way to do it. It seems like it's working for you, so that's a fantastic way to do it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, it works out pretty well. outside of the fact, I guess, that I've never actually, I mean, I worked on a movie, but I've never done anything that I've wrote, and a lot of that has to do with kind of people's interest around here, man. It's nobody in Bluefield wants to do anything at all, and no one wants to support anything until it's actually already accomplished something. You know what I mean? Like, like, if I were to make a movie and it would get huge, then everybody was a fan from day one. But no one wants to do anything to get to that. You know what? That's just the way. That's just the way it is, and it kind of sucks, man. But the last few nights, I don't know what it is, but I've been hit with kind of this mentality of, you know what, man, I'm 31, and I haven't tried. And like last year, I had this plan to do this movie, and it kind of fell through. And the problem is, I have this one general idea that I've latched onto, and I've been working on it since middle school, and which I've been fine tuning it, and I think it's time to do that one because that one stuck around forever. That's my idea.
The ones that keep you up at night tend to be the best.
And that's what I think about all the time is that movie. And I get a little confused where I want to go with it sometimes, and that's why I've never fully finished it. But it's also, like, my baby. I have so much time wrapped up in it, even though... It's weird to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Which, actually, man, I may talk to you about that. Just to all see right. if you have kind of any ideas at some point. Because, like, I get to a certain extent... Get to a certain point. I don't know. Should I say the idea on here? I'll say the idea on here. Mm-hmm. So
you can give a general.
So basically, the idea is these two characters decide that their life isn't actually it's a little harder to explain. But so these two guys are best friends, and one guy decides that, you know what, their lives aren't quite what they thought they were going to be at this point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So the one guy sells both of their souls, which that will come into effect because the one guy didn't technically agree to it, but it was his soul was sold for him to the devil for basically one guy has issues falling in love. So the deal was the first person that sees him after his soul was sold falls in love with him, and the other guy gets a sum of money because money brings happiness. Mm-hmm. Well, they go on, and then they finally realize that this was a terrible idea. Like, it was one of the dumbest things they've ever done. It didn't quite work out the way they wanted to, so they do what they have to do. They kill themselves so they can go to hell and fight the devil to reclaim their souls. And I don't know, man. I've had so many story arcs with this, like, I can't fully decide on one. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have other stuff planned too. Like, I have, three movies in mind for this. But as far as this first one, man, it's just, there's so many things that you can do, especially once they get to hell. And like, I always have the start where they come in, and I'm a big Offspring fan. The Offspring are my favorite band ever. Mm-hmm. And, I always have them on an elevator, and they're going down, and Intermission from Ixnay on the Hombre is playing because it's elevator music. And then they get out, and there's like a gift shop, and they're, you know, the guy's really, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, I guess I'll buy this shirt. And he's like, no, you don't buy it. You're in hell, man. You got to do the wrong thing. And he's like, what? And they're like really trying to encourage him to steal and stuff like that. And so, and then also hell is not what people think. Like, it's not just fire. It's literally just a place. Like, it's mm-hmm. just walking outside here, and then of course all this is explained, but anyway, man, I've been working on that idea because there's not really anything like that
mm-hmm.
that I've seen anyway. I mean, I know Bill and Ted go to hell for a brief minute or whatever, but there's never been a concept like that where, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but you know, that's just an idea that I have. I don't know. That got off on a tangent, and I didn't mean to, but
no, that was an interesting idea. I liked that.
So yeah, man, I've been working on that, and I have a bunch of other ideas too, man. I have an idea of a thing called, but I'm afraid I've been working on this idea too for a while, but I'm afraid that people would compare it to Step Brothers now. But I have an idea where two best friends. You'll notice a very, very trending theme in a lot of my movies, but from where I'm so dialogue heavy, I have to have two characters. So it's a best friend, and basically one best friend ends up finding out that his best friend has been sleeping with his mom and that they are getting married, and that guy is going to become his stepfather. And so his stepfather is his best friend, and it's just like a weird dynamic from there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that.
Tons of stuff, but I don't know. Anyway.
You know, everything, people are always going to compare whatever you do to anything else. Everything's already been done, but you can always take something and make it your own.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. I think the only thing that you have to worry about for being called a plagiarizing dude or plagiarist. Plagiarist? Plagiarizer? Whatever. Plagiarist. Stand-up comedy seems to have no room for that at all, even if you are, like, changing it and making it your own. But anything else seems okay. I mean, if James Cameron can write Avatar and not be blasted for ripping off Pocahontas, I think everybody should be good.
Oh, yeah. There's only so many story concepts out there. So you'll write something and you think it's original, and somebody will come up to you after it's already screened and say, hey, this reminds me of this obscure French film from 1875 that I saw, and you're going to tear your beard off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, man. There's so many different concepts that are the same. Like, I know I've heard people who have complained that Harry Potter has a similar storyline to Star Wars. And I'm like, so you're saying that the good people are facing the bad people trying to rid the bad people? I mean, yeah. You're right, I guess.
Yeah, it's a chosen one type of story. It's going to hit the same beats.
Yep. Or The Matrix. The Matrix is the same. Yeah. I mean, The Matrix, if you look at it, is literally the Bible, so...
Yes.
But yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. Where do you draw your inspiration? Speaking of just inspirations and you know... Because I think that's a lot of it with writing. I think so much of it is you're influenced by the stuff that you love, and I think you subconsciously do that. Like, a lot of my characters will probably sound like Kevin Smith characters or... Mm-hmm. Low-grade Quentin Tarantino characters, because those are the guys that I love. But where are your inspiration? Like, who are your favorite? Like, who do you read a lot of and stuff?
Who my biggest inspirations are a British comic fantasy author called Terry Pratchett.
I've heard the name before.
Yeah, he does a lot of satirical work wrapped up in a fantasy garb, and it's just fantastic and masterfully done. And also I get a lot from Neil Gaiman. Let's see, also do Mark Twain. A lot of my stories are these picaresque, well, my novel, one of them is a picaresque sort of traveling story, like something he would write. What I've been taglining this book as, it's as if a modern-day Mark Twain read American Gods by Neil Gaiman, told him he hated it because that's the kind of jerk that Twain was, but secretly liked it and decided to wanted to write something like that, but on a smaller scale. That'd probably be about it.
Whoa.
Let's see. But also on the more serious side, I really enjoy Philip K. Dick. I really like George Orwell.
Mm-hmm.
Aldous Huxley. There's a few more that I really enjoy, but I can't say really inspired my writing all that much.
What are your favorite books? Like, what if you had, I mean, I know that's kind of a, that'd be like somebody asking me what your top five favorite films, and I feel like there's, it depends on the mood almost. I have a number one favorite all time that never changes, and then after that it kind of depends on my mood. But if you had to pick, or, you know, in the mood that you're in right now, what would be like your favorite couple of books?
Probably on the lighter side of things, my favorite books would be Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman. I read that one a couple times a year, just over and over.
What's that? What is that one? What is that about?
It's about an underground London sort of thing. This man, this sort of average, everyday Joe sort of guy, helps someone whom he mysteriously finds in the street covered in blood, and by helping her, he is drawn into this sort of magical, dark underworld of London, where you can go through pockets of different times. You can meet all kinds of creatures from myth that's had to adapt to a secret other world living. That's pretty much what that one's about. It's good.
That sounds all right. I like a lot of that, like, underneath London, like, underground London type stuff.
Mm-hmm. And maybe on the not-so-lighter side, I would have to say my favorite book would be Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Okay. I've heard of that. I've just never read it before.
Yeah. It's the one that inspired Blade Runner.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of what Blade Runner is based off of.
I think that's probably why I've heard of that then. It seems like in film studies that our teacher talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to read that. Maybe after I finish Hitchhiker's Guide. We'll do that. Which
Douglas Adams, him too. Mm-hmm. Almost forgot him.
I love Douglas Adams, man. What's funny is I have the, you know, the complete Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy set.
Yeah.
But I do the same thing. And again, it's been at least 10 years since I've picked it up. But I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And then I say that I'm a huge Hitchhiker's fan, but I've never read any of the other, four books?
Yeah, Restaurant at the End of the Universe, yeah. So Long, Thanks for All the Fish.
I've never read. And my goal this time is to actually kind of just burn through all of them. So, which it's weird. I don't know if you've, maybe it's just because I don't read a ton, but I feel like my comprehension level must be terrible because like there's a lot of stuff that I'm reading in Hitchhiker's Guide and I'm like, I don't remember that. It's really weird, which is, I mean, it's okay. Cause it's like reading it again for the first time and I love it, but it's, you know,
well, it's also a pretty light story. So it's not something that unless you are really fanboy about it, you committed to deep memory.
Right. Yeah. Because the main two things I remember are 42 and Don't Panic. You know what? Like, that's the big things that I remember. And then, like, here or there, like, I just read the chapter where, and I can't remember. That's one thing I'm really bad with is fantasy names. So anything that is said, like, I can't remember what the name of the fish in the ear is that translates the languages and stuff.
It's the babblefish.
Yeah, but I just and that's something I should totally remember. But like, I remember the concept, but not what it's actually called.
Yeah.
But that happens with me and a lot of stuff, man. With a lot of stuff. So, because probably my favorite book ever wrote is American Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love... Well, I say I love Bret Ellis, but I think that's the only book I've ever read that Bret Ellis wrote. I know he wrote a bunch of... Like, I know he wrote, like, Rules of Engagement and some stuff like that, but... Or Rules of Engagement or Rules of Attraction? What the heck was that Bret Ellis book? Anyway, but he... I like American Psycho, but I also know that there's a lot of stuff that I don't remember about that book either, so... I don't know. That's just the way it is.
I've never read it, but I hear it's very detail heavy. So.
Oh my gosh, dude. It's got some of the grossest descriptions of things ever, man. But it's really like... so the whole story about that is, I guess, like, Bret Ellis kind of... He was super coked up at the time, as most authors were, I guess, in the day and age when that was wrote. And... it was basically a story about how people are so wrapped. Well, it was partially, I think, kind of a book directed towards his dad, but because I think he had a lot of issues with his dad. But it was basically wrote as kind of a thing of people are so wrapped up in themselves, they don't pay attention to their surroundings. So, like, when Patrick is like, oh, you know, what are you into? And he's like, mergers and executions. And the person's like, oh, what? And he's like, mergers and acquisitions. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you know, and they don't pay attention to a lot of the stuff like that. And so that's kind of what it's about, is like all these signs, you know, he's blatantly just murdering people out in the, you know, whatever. And it seems like no one really pays attention or cares.
I kind of got that from the film.
The film, so that's actually one of the awesome things. That movie is, and this is my experience, people may disagree with me on this, but the movie and the book are so, the only differences really in it is the timeline in which the stuff happens. Mm-hmm. The timelines are a little bit different, but it's still all, like, even that scene at the end where he's trying to feed that cat to the ATM is word for word what's happening in the book. It's pretty crazy. Now, the thing that I love about that book is that there's not chapters. It's not chapter one. It's not chapter two. It's trip to the store. And then the next one is cooked brain tried to eat it. And then, like, stuff like that. Like, it's, instead of it being chapters, it's almost like journal entries, almost, as far as like titling goes. It's really, really neat.
Oh, there's a YouTube channel I think you might like. It's called What's the Difference?
Mm-hmm.
The two guys who will talk about the differences in between media, like something's been adapted into a film, mm-hmm. a book, graphic novel, whatnot, and they'll go through the differences in that, and they do a really good job.
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out, because that would be something that I would be really, really, really big into, because I love... I love seeing... Because some stuff, they change and stuff, and it doesn't make any sense, but like... I would be interested to see, because there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of media that I've seen and haven't read,
mm-hmm.
and I think it would be cool to see the differences, because a lot of times if I watch a movie, and I don't know if you do the same thing or not, but if I watch something and I haven't read it, generally the first thing I'll do is go to Google and search differences in blah 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 movie versus book.
Yeah, I'll usually go out and pick up the book if I really like the film.
Yeah, I've done that. Well, that's why I bought American Psycho, is because I love the movie mm-hmm. so much. And what else did I do? I bought Battle Royale. You ever seen Battle mm-hmm. Royale?
Yeah.
The Japanese film? God, man, I love that movie so much. That's one of my favorites. That's a top... That one's a top five that I never change. So my favorite movie ever made is Old Boy.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, the Korean film. Which I actually really mm-hmm. like the American remake, too. I think they did a good job at Americanizing it without... fully destroying, you know, what the movie was about. And I'm not going to say it just in case anybody listening is listening, but it blows my mind that America kept that twist ending in. Mm-hmm. When they first announced they were doing a remake, I was like, there's no way they're keeping that ending. But they did. But Old Boy is number one, and it almost, since I saw it, has been and has never changed, just because that film made me feel just different, man. Mm-hmm. And then Battle Royale. I love Battle Royale. I love the concept of Battle Royale. Yeah. I just love the concept of it. I think it's awesome. Which I like Hunger Games too. I just think Battle Royale makes it so much more personal and so much like, because the tagline of Battle Royale is "Today I killed my best friend."
Mm-hmm.
And just like that personalness that it makes, like it's classmate. I don't know, man. I love that movie so much.
All right, so that's two. What would the other three be if there's one you could pin down for a top five
for movies?
Yeah.
Well, number three. So I would almost have to put a person here. I don't know, man. So Kevin Smith is like the Lord to me. Like he's, yeah. But I guess if I had to put one of his films, God, it's so hard because he's almost had two different careers with, because he's had his comedy stuff and then he's had his horror stuff.
Yeah.
I think impact wise, I would have to put Clerks.
Okay.
It would be hard for me to... I love Mallrats. I love Chasing Amy. I actually... It's funny that I say Clerks, because I think that as far as story goes, I think Dogma is his best actual film. But just as far as impact goes on specifically me, because my entire life is shaped after Clerks. Like, Clerks basically spawned my entire writing style and everything from the first time I saw it. So probably I would put Clerks at three, since I can't put Kevin Smith as a whole. And then, God, man, oh my Lord. It's so hard. I would have to say, just trying to round out top five with several different genres here, I would have to put Toxic Avenger in there. And that is specifically because it's probably the pinnacle of B-horror films, in my opinion. I think that that movie did a lot for creating a buzz around independent films, and specifically horror films. So I would put Toxic Avenger at four. Oh, God, man. What's on my shelf over here? Because I keep all the... I have a shelf over here, and I have all my movies in a room back there, but I have movies that I watch over and over and are my favorite movies on a shelf right here. God, man, I don't know, man. Oh, it'd be so hard. There's so many movies. Probably I would have to say something Tarantino related. So I would have to say, just because he's been a big influence too, man. So I would almost have to say that, so we would say Old Boy, Battle Royale, Clerks, Toxic Avenger, and then I would maybe have to go with Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, okay. Yeah.
Because I actually think Reservoir Dogs is... I love Pulp Fiction. I think Pulp Fiction's fantastic, but I love Reservoir Dogs, man, so much. It's such a good film.
It's so seemingly simple on the surface, but it's actually an extraordinary complex character study. And I like it.
Yeah, I love Reservoir Dogs. I love it so much. Which I do... I think... I also really like Django, but again, I think for just as far as impact on me goes, Reservoir Dogs would have to be there. And then there's other ones too, man. Like, this is gonna sound really, really stupid, but I find one of the most so maybe this would be a number six, just as an honorable mention. And this may sound stupid, but dude, one of the most motivational movies I've ever saw that made me want to make movies. And I don't know what it was, and maybe it was the small budget and the big turnaround, but I love Juno. I think Juno is such an awesome movie, man. I don't know much about Diablo Cody outside of that, and I'm not a huge... I like Ellen Page as an actor, but she's a little too, like, activist for me. And I know that sounds terrible. I'm not saying she doesn't promote good stuff or bad stuff. I'm just, like, that's all she does is, you know... Is
what I get what you mean by that.
What are your already listed all your stuff. Do you have alright. You write stories and stuff. Have you ever tried to write any kind of like screenplay or any kind of theater type thing or anything of that nature?
Yes, in fact. I started looking into screenplays probably a few months ago, probably just before 2019. I've read a number of books about it. I've read, like I said before, but Save the Cat by Blake Snyder, screenplay by Sid Field, and the anime story by John Truby, and so I really like the idea and I really like the concept of writing a screenplay. So I'm doing this month for March, I'm doing what's called a Zero Draft 30. It's this Seth Meyers, who does a blog about film, holds this sort of screenplay writing challenge where you get your zero draft out, just the first paper draft of the screenplay out in 30 days in March. So I'm working on that.
Nice. Do you have a page count that you're looking at, or are you just writing and just when it finishes, it finishes?
I want to get anywhere from... I probably want to do a standard commercial length anywhere from 110 to 128 pages.
Mm-hmm. It's not too bad.
We'll see about that. If I like it, after it's done, after it's gone through all my editing processes, if I like it, I'll probably put it up on Inktip or Scriver. I think it's called Scriver. Some marketplaces like that. We'll see if I can't get a studio interested.
Yeah.
A little indie studio.
Yeah, man. That's the key, dude. Cause like, mm-hmm. I think honestly, I should probably take some of my stuff and just throw up there just to see what happens. But
yeah,
there's been a lot of movies that have started just because someone took a little extra time to try it. Like, did you ever see Hatchet?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know how that movie started?
How's that?
Adam Green had this idea, and he went to him and a couple of buddies went to Louisiana and filmed a fake trailer, and that fake trailer blew up on the internet, and it basically got it out there. And then he was like, "All right, I guess I have to write a screenplay." So it's crazy, man. I love Hatchet, dude. That's a good series, mm-hmm. man. Are there any like slasher, like book series? Is there anything like that, or would that be a new new concept?
I think slasher itself is exclusive to movies, but there is pulp horror, where it has a similar type of feel to it. It's about it's body horror, and it's more on the shock value of murder and whatnot, or you know, your Jason Voorhees style killers.
That's interesting. I don't know, though. I guess it almost feels like that would suit film better, though, because there's a lot of like suggested stuff in those movies. I don't know if that would translate well.
You'd have to find somebody pretty special to write that.
Yeah.
To write a straight slasher movie to book adaptation.
Yeah. Always like always like when you go to a store and it'll be and it's a book based on the movie that was based on the book.
Yeah, they'll have
the novelization of the movie instead of just being the actual book that the movie was based on.
They'll even have like a cover, a book cover that's a production still from the movie. Yeah,
man, that always cracks me up. I love seeing those so much, man. Did you ever read any? I've never read a lot of them, but I know a ton of people that has, man. Did you ever read any of the Star Wars like extended universe things?
Yeah, I read a couple of them back in high school.
I know a ton of people that love those, man. And I tried to read one. And it's, again, it's one of those things. I like Star Wars. I like Star Wars maybe not as much as the next guy, but I dig it. But it's just like, it's almost like the material is, this is going to sound so stupid, but it's almost like the material is so dense as far as like, I struggle with sci-fi and fantasy names, man. I really struggle with it. Like, I could never read Lord of the Rings because I couldn't keep track of who was who and what place they were in, because I, from where, you know, it sounds so crazy to me, you know, like it's the names really, it's kind of like when I read Battle Royale, I struggled with it because so many of the character names from other Japanese were so similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure to the Japanese, that was like John and Jack, you know, which is clearly distinguishable to us. But I really, really struggle with that, man. And then if I do struggle with that, it takes me out of it, because then I'm like, wait, which guy is that? Which person is that? If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I struggle with that a lot. But I love fantasy, though, man. Like I said, I love Hitchhiker's Guide and stuff like that. But maybe, I don't know. I would like to read some of the Star Wars stuff, though, which I guess there's a lot of issues now with, like, the canon stuff and what's not canon and what's, I don't know.
It seems like now with the new trilogy, they're going to go their own way, and the books that aren't actually novelizations of the films are going to go their own way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. Speaking of the new trilogy, though, dude, which I haven't seen... I haven't seen part 8, but I loved part 7, man.
You know, I really thought it was fun. I liked it.
I thought it was super, super cool. Like, I liked Rey. I know that people hated on Kylo, but I thought he was cool. Like, I liked... I don't know, man. Like, it wasn't the greatest movie I've ever seen, but, like, I thought it was very, very fun, like you said. And also, I thought, as far as the length goes, even though it was long, it feels like it goes by so fast. Like, there's not a lot of downtime in that movie. Like, everything is kind of to serve the actual point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like a Walking Dead episode where, you know, the first 30 seconds is closing off the cliffhanger that you had, then you got 45 minutes of dead air, and then you've got 20 seconds leading into a cliffhanger, and then you're like, oh, well, crap, I guess I'll see what happens next. That, in my opinion, that's Walking Dead to me, but I don't dislike the show, but I feel like there's a lot of wasted time in that, but yeah, man, I liked 7. I thought everything served kind of a bigger purpose of getting to the story. Like, it didn't feel like there was a lot of filler there. I liked it a lot.
Me too. I try not to follow hate rants online about films. About any films, whether I think they're good or bad. Because I've read some, and they're usually not about the actual movie themselves.
Yeah. I hate when people review stuff, and it's not about the thing, like... So, if someone is reviewing Star Wars, they'll be like, man, whatever the chick's name is that played Rey, she's a terrible actress, and it's like... Yeah. Well, are you saying she's bad in this movie? Well, no, she was okay. Well, then what... You're just saying you don't like her in general? Like, this is not related to the movie at all. Daisy Ridley, yeah.
Yeah, we have Daisy Ridley.
That's very, very... I hate when people do that, man. But I agree, man. I try not to feed... Well, because, like, I feel like if you constantly are reading, like... just hate articles and stuff as far as, like, I hate this movie. I feel like you are your surroundings. And I feel like if you surround yourself with hate, it's going to make you a more cynical person.
Yeah.
And I just started trying to like everything. And you know what, man? It's been great. I used to be the guy that would complain about movies. I'd complain about wrestling. I'd complain about this. And then I finally just started watching stuff for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And... life's been great. I mean, like, I'm not the guy. I don't have to be the hipster that knew about something before it happened, or the this media did it different than that media. Like yeah, that's the thing. Even with movie book, like, I know people who hate the Harry Potter movies because they're not the Harry Potter books. But you know what? I love the movies for what they are, and that's perfectly fine. And hey, if that makes me a terrible person because I can watch something and enjoy it, does that really make me the idiot here? Because I enjoyed it. You did not. You're the one that wasted 2 hours. I didn't. I had fun. Who cares?
You're the one over here who is actually, you know, having a good life. And, you know, maybe somebody likes to, that is their only means of fulfillment is complaining about something. But, you know, I have a couple suggestions. Might be able to turn that around and get you a little better quality of living.
Yeah. Yep. Have you received any kind of, like, negative... things for your writings?
Let's see. I've got a couple not stellar reviews. I've thankfully been in obscure enough to not get
the super hate,
super awful hates. Mostly what I've gotten is it's either confusing or. Yeah, mostly it's confusing. Most of the people are like, why is it this way and this? Because I try to write things that tend to be dense.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several layers of meaning. So if you don't read through that and catch them, it might seem a bit confusing. So I can understand where they're coming from.
I can understand that, man. I get a lot of on my YouTube channel. I'll always get like people being like, you know, and of course it's just like, you're fat or something like that, and like.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. Like, here's what always makes me laugh about that is, if you're going to insult someone who's fat, do you think that telling them that they're fat, do you think that that's something they've never heard before?
They read that comment and it's like, what?
Yeah, dude, like, it's, like, life-changing. Like, what? Oh, my God, dude, I did not realize that. That's terrible. So, like, I always laugh. I think one time I got a chuckle out of it because somebody, I think, said something about, like, somehow they had insinuated that I was a pig somehow. I can't remember what it was, but it was hilarious, man. But it's like, I mean, I get it. There are a lot of people who, you know, don't have the ability to. I mean, there's a lot of like mental health issues involved with that and stuff. And but I don't really care. Which, because the thing is like, I always try to think about it like, man, if you thought I was fat now, you should have seen me 50 pounds ago. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. But like, I just shrug it off because it's funny to me. Like,
yeah.
People think that they're doing you a favor, like you're fat, or they think it's being mean, but it's like, you can tell that comes from thin people because, or people who have never been fat, because if you've ever been fat and you're older than, I don't know, 5 years old, you've been insulted with a lot of different things. So you're going to have to come harder than you're fat.
That's very true. Yes, it's sort of a low grade. I don't. Somebody who is so, who has hatred and bile so deeply ingrained into them, it's like swatting at a fly. It's like, oh, you're fat.
Yeah. Like, okay. All right. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you care about my health. And I'll get into not arguments with them, but I'll just be nice back, and they'll try to be mean back, and they'll be like, your videos are stupid. And I'm like, well, you keep giving it views every time you respond, so I appreciate it. So it's funny, man. It's people, I don't know, man. But like, I never get criticized on my content. It's always about my appearance. And that's funny to me. Like, it's never like it would hurt me so much more if somebody was like, this short film sucks, dude. You're an idiot. You have no ability to make a film. Like, I feel like that would go, which I, again, wouldn't care because you're a stranger on the internet that I could care less about your opinion, but that would go way further than, hey, dude, you need to lose weight. Because it's like, at the end of the day, that's almost like, you actually care about me, and I appreciate that.
So something like that would require thought, though.
Well,
just
that's true.
Telling you you're fat is just—it's like huffing paint thinner. It doesn't have much effect, but it's also safe enough to where you don't have to think about it that much.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. But it's cool. Whatever. That's the only kind of hate that I get. Which I've never read the reviews. Actually, I'm gonna pull those up right now. I'm thinking about. I wonder what the reviews on that Night of the Were-Rooster are. Night of the Were-Rooster. I wonder what the reviews on this are. 3.5 stars on Amazon. Let's go. Ooh, got some 1 stars. Let's see what this says. All right, here we go. Let's go to the 1 stars.
Don't you love the people who comment, who write reviews, and it's not an objective review? It's like, I never watch movies in this genre because I hate this genre, so now I'm going to review this movie that I hate the genre.
That's always been my issue with, like, if you ever read, like, IGN and stuff, like, they would even tell you what that person was known for reviewing, and I'm like, well, why is this guy that loves RPGs reviewing sports games, or why is this guy who loves sports games reviewing a new Final Fantasy? Because they're going to be way more slanted.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right, so, not the genre or humor you expect from the title. Not funny, not scary. This is filthy, bloody porn. Well, there's no nudity in it, so that's terribly incorrect right off the bat. This isn't just a funny little badly done horror movie. This is the grossest, filthiest movie I've ever watched part of. Even the actors were vomiting at what was going on. I think this is just somebody being stupid.
Troll.
It would have to be. Well, they gave it 1 star, but nothing they're saying makes sense. Let's see. If you want a cheesy movie, this is the one. This makes your typical B movie a true embarrassment. You can turn the sound off and just watch this one over your shoulder and still feel you've wasted your time. But if you have nothing to better to do, go ahead. What I love too, man, is so many people reviewing this stuff and they don't do anything. Like, where's your film?
Yeah.
Like, where is your film at? All right. If you don't...
If you think you can do better, then go for it, bucko.
Yep. Don't believe the reviews, probably friends and the actors. It was slow and boring, just as cheesy as other films. You never see the monster. Is that true? I don't think that's true. I think you do see the monster. I'm pretty positive. I helped make this movie. I should know that, but... I'm pretty positive. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just insinuated. But I thought you did.
Well, if it was a couple of years ago and you've done other things, I would not be surprised if you forgot much of it.
Dude, I honestly think the biggest issue with me is that I take in so much media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every day, I listen to podcasts all day at work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's... Depending on who you're listening to, like... I mean, your average Rogan podcast is 3 hours, so that's 3 hours of new information here, 3 hours of new information there, twice, three times a day, plus whatever TV show me and Tracy watch, plus then whatever I'm doing after she goes to bed. So I take in so much media. The only thing that doesn't really leave my head is wrestling stuff, but... I was looking for some low-budget laughs just for Halloween, and I eventually found some, but not in this movie. Even for the genre, the writing and acting were atrocious. Imagine an average middle school student reading aloud from a book they'd never read before. Okay, a below-average student. That's how wooden the delivery was, and the jokes, if you can call a couple of gratuitous boob shots jokes. But there was no boobs. I mean, there was a chick that had a low-cut shirt on, and kind of this, like, lacy thing, but there was never any nudity. Not what I expected. Terrible acting. That's actually not true, man. I can't speak for the other actors, but the main actor in that is a dude named Lance, and he's a really good actor, actually. Yeah, lots of bad stuff. People hating on crap, but that's just the way it is.
Well, you know, that's also a thing that you get with indie films. You get people who want Hollywood-grade effects and... someone who's been acting for 30 years in Hollywood films, and they want that same sort of hit the beat storyline, and they don't get that, and they get angry because, you know, they went looking for something else.
I threw any bit of anybody's opinion about movies out when people complain that Nicolas Cage was the same actor in every movie, but then they complain that Johnny Depp is a character actor. Because there's only two things you can do. You can be the same guy, or you can be different.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. And if you hate both people who do those things, you just like to complain. That's all you like to do.
I'm thinking you don't like movies.
Yeah, it's exactly, man. Like, I'm thinking, like, maybe movies aren't for you. Maybe you need to find a new thing, because you seem to hate all of them. Because you hate the only two things you can do. You can act differently, or you can act the same. You can't... There's not, like, an in the middle.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, man. It's super stupid, so... Well, man, that's about an hour and 20 minutes, man. I'm gonna wrap it up. I gotta work in the morning, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that you want to leave on or leave with?
Anybody out there who's thinking about writing or writing right now and are feeling really rough about it, just persevere. That's the only thing that you can do. Persevere and keep writing. Because at some point you're going to want to give up, you're going to feel that nobody cares, and you're wrong. So... just keep going.
Yeah, man. That's pretty good advice. So many people quit way too early.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the way I always think about it is, everybody's quitting, and if you don't, that makes you the one that's going to get through and make it.
Exactly.
So, well, Carl, dude, I appreciate it. Hopefully sometime me and Tracy can make it down there.
That'd be nice. Come down to the Strawberry Festival when they have it. That's a really great thing.
Yeah, when is that?
In I think it's June or July, one of the two.
I'll ask her about it. Send me a message after this to remind me, and I'll ask her about it. Cause she always likes to do stuff like that, and then we can, like I said, we can always do like a, we can see her sister, and then you know all that stuff. So, yeah. But I'd love to get down there, man. I know we've talked about it a ton, but
you probably
know as much as the next person, dude. You just blink one day, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's 2 years later. Well,
exactly.
So. But dude, I appreciate you jumping on here, man, and maybe I can have you back on maybe after, you know, couple of weeks, months, or something like that. Maybe I'll have you back on and we can talk about some more stuff. And
well, I'd love to. Just give me a shout.
Yeah, man, will do. I appreciate you coming on.
Woohoo!
All right, see you, man.
See ya.